Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Hey, Brother Moyo, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Not too bad, not too bad. How's your day going?
Well, my day has been going well, I must tell you that. How has been yours?
Mine has been okay. It's actually been a very good day. Indeed, I've actually, it's one of those things that you rarely say nowadays, to say, you know, it's a very good day. I guess most times we say it's a blessed day, while also considering the fact that, you know, there are ups and downs and everything. But in the end of, at the end of the day, God is faithful. So, yes, it's been a blessed day.
Yeah. You know, today, thank you so much for that. Today, we are definitely going to be diving straight into it. The question today is, who is the Holy Spirit? That is a voice of prophecy lesson that you are bringing to us today. And in yesterday's lessons, we established that the Holy Spirit's Holy Spirit was Christ's representative on earth, sent to be the omnipresent God in our lives, because Christ in his human form could only be in one place at a time. And so today, the lesson tells us more about the third person in the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. Please do take us through today's lesson. What specific information does Scripture give us about who the Holy Spirit is?
We have a very good idea about what you're talking about, the idea that Jesus, at least the Son, we know much better of, because he's one who actually lived with us here on this earth. And then the Father, we can see a very good parent, we can probably picture the Father being exactly like that, or somehow like that. But then when it comes to the Holy Spirit, we oftentimes say it instead of him, thinking of the Holy Spirit as sometimes being almost like almost impersonal, you know. But then what Scripture actually does tell us is that the Holy Spirit, yes, is a member of the Godhead, but also maybe if we were able to go to the book of Genesis. But I think maybe when you go to the book of Genesis, I think we can go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2.
Okay.
A lot of times we go to that part and it goes like, in the beginning, God, yes? And I don't know if you have your Bible there close by, but then it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do you have a Bible close by?
Yeah, I do have a Bible close by. I've actually grabbed it. You want which chapter? And God said, let there be light. Is that what? Verse 3?
No, not verse 3. I was looking for verse 1 and 2.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's verse 1. Number 2 says, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters.
Now, it's interesting. A lot of people actually oftentimes forget the fact that that verse is there. We go from in the beginning, God, and we go to straight to let there be light. But then we forget that there's a mention of a member of the Godhead right there. And it says the Spirit was hovering above the face of the water. Or sometimes it says the face of the deep.
So here it says the Spirit of God. Is the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit one and the same thing?
One and the same thing. The Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit are one and the same.
I see.
when you look at it from that point of view, then, I mean, and that's one of the things lots of people kind of actually even forget. And I shouldn't even say lots of people. I should say we forget, because I've been there myself, where we forget to mention the fact that, yes, the Spirit is not just a member of the, is not just something that we say or something that we talk about when we're going like, oh, okay, no. When we say the Spirit of God, that is the Holy Spirit. That is a member of the Godhead and not just some impersonal force. So yes, he is mentioned there. And that also shows you that he took part in the creation. He is part of the creation. So yes, Holy Spirit, very much a member of the Godhead.
Hi, Dumzani. Oh, we lost you there for a moment. Yes, thank God you're back. Yes, please continue.
Yes, I'm sorry about that. So yes, Indeed, over there, that gives us one idea that yes, indeed, he is the creator, and well, he also took part in the creation, and so there's the idea that also he is a personality, not just the idea of some impersonal force. If you have your Bible there, the what's this the other verse I would say we go to would be Matthew
Matthew.
chapter 28 and verse 19. Another well-known verse, another well-known text, because this is when Jesus is about leaving his disciples, and we often quote it saying it is the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, if you don't mind.
But verse 19 says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
That's an interesting part over there. The fact that it doesn't just say in the name of the Father and the Son. No, it just says and of the Holy Spirit, which is the idea that, again, it's not some impersonal force. He is a member of the Godhead, and it actually talks about him being equal with the Father and the Son. So yes, the Bible lets us know that he has personal character, that he's an actual person of the Godhead or a member of the Godhead. So yes, that's the idea that comes forward. So it does establish the fact that the Bible puts him on equal footing with the Father and the Son.
Is it equal in substance?
Ah, now that's something you know what, I won't even lie to you over there. To say that he's equal in substance, we won't say that. That's going into the nature of God. But what we do know, to understand is, well, like yes, he is. I don't know what to say in terms of substance. Like, could you try to say that in a different way?
Yeah, you can go ahead. Hello? Oh, we lost you there for a moment. Yeah, you were saying you were going to be saying it in a different way.
Oh yeah, could you try word that in a different way if you say in substance? Because when you're saying in substance, you mean as in is he physically the same? Or how do you mean when you ask that question? Is he one in substance?
The father judges. The father is the one that declares, judgment on all men. I mean, the substance of the father, the substance of of who the father is and what the father does, and the capabilities, all capabilities of the father, etc., etc. I mean, father sent the son, etc. So you are saying that equal footing. I want to know if that is in the substance as well.
When you said substance, I was thinking, are you talking about physicality? I was like, I'm not sure about that one. But when you talk about in terms of their principle and in terms of their authority, then yes. But then at the same time, he doesn't play the same role as the father, if I can put it that way. Equal, yes, but equal not necessarily in terms of what they do, because the Father does not take on the role that the Holy Spirit takes on. The Holy Spirit does not take on the role of Jesus Christ. They all do their role, but they do, and but yet they are all equal, if I can put it that way.
Okay, all right.
One thing that we know that the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit does convict us of sin, and that's one of the things that he does do, that he's actually the one is part of that idea of when God talked about, I will put enmity between you and the serpent in Genesis chapter 3. He is part of that process to convict that conscience that is there that says, yeah, you shouldn't do that. So he is the one who convicts, but he is also the one who helps to, besides the fact of convicting, he also helps to sustain and to keep us in our daily walk with Christ and with our daily walk to God. So And also that desire, even to desire to want to go towards God, that is the Holy Spirit speaking to us and walking with us. So yes, he does much, but he doesn't do the same thing as the Son does. Otherwise, we would have said then, why didn't just the Holy Spirit just go on the cross? So he doesn't do the same role, but he is equal in authority and in power, because he is omniscient, he is omnipresent, he is all knowing, he is but also all loving. So yes, indeed.
So what you're suggesting is that there's no hierarchy, as it were.
Yeah, I would say there is no hierarchy. They are one, and I'm not the one who says this. It is the Bible that says.
Yeah, yeah,
it
no,
puts what, them
yeah,
all
yeah,
on.
Yeah, of course, of course.
Because I'm sorry that I had to put it that way, but I had to make sure and
no,
sure that indeed we're
that's fine.
The Bible.
No, this is
from
the scripture. Yeah,
we be quoted to say no, but it was Brother Dumisani who said that they're all on equal footing. But no, the Bible lets us know that, and that's the authority we go on.
All right, what else is important that we should know about the Holy Spirit?
So if you don't mind, since you say what's important, I think let's go right back to the Word of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 27 actually lets us know that the Holy Spirit has a mind. He also has wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10 lets us know that. So there's one that I'd really want you to read, though. That is Romans chapter 15 and verse 30, if you don't mind.
Romans 15, verse 30.
Romans chapter 15 and verse 30. I really want us to read that one. Yes, I already talked about, if you really want to know, Romans 8:27 talks about him having wisdom. Having a mind, and also wisdom in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10. But I really want to go through Romans chapter 15 and verse 30, because I believe that one is very important.
It says, I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me.
You see what it says over there, where it talks about the in the love of the Spirit. So right there is the idea that, yes, indeed, even the Holy Spirit has feelings, but not just feelings, feelings of love. Because, yes, he has other feelings. When you go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, it talks about him having grief as well. We can grieve the Holy Spirit as well, when you see in Genesis as well. But then that one in Romans, it talks about feelings of love that the Holy Spirit has towards us. So we can say, yes, Jesus loves me, as we usually sing. And we know that the Father loves us because he gave his only begotten Son, which also includes the Holy Spirit. But remember, we can also look at the Holy Spirit and also see that he has love toward us as well. So, yes, he also has power to guide us. Acts chapter 16 and verse 6 and 7 lets us know that. Is important to know that. But yes, those are the things I would point out as being important as well. But we should also recognize that Jesus recognized the authority of the Holy Spirit as well, because when he said that I'm sending someone else, and when the Holy Spirit was poured out among the church in the early church in Acts, we recognize that without the Holy Spirit, they could do nothing. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, we still, and today, can do nothing. Because we even have a church that will be, that's why we need to constantly have a church that is praying for the Holy Spirit. As I see is going on also on SID Media, is the idea that of praying and praying constantly. The idea that we should be praying for the Holy Spirit to be poured out amongst us, for him to move in his people, in God's children. Because without his power, we really cannot do anything. It will just be a church with numbers, with people, but with no power.
Well, it is a definitely a very powerful and complex subject that you have brought to us over the last 2 days. I do want to thank you so much for this lesson. I do also pray that the Lord continues to bless you with wisdom to be able to unpack these not so easy subjects. Thank you so much, my brother, once again for coming through.
No, thank you very much, and I hope you have a blessed day.
Blessings to you too. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.